every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. and are always covering a wide range of subjects related to health, wellness, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and exercise. Give you helpful suggestions and spice it up with controversies when we can. We usually have special guests. Usually have a great program here every Saturday from 10 to 11. So I'd like to take just a minute to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero. I have a private naturopathic practice in Annapolis, Maryland, and also do some work with the Village Green Apothecary. I'm there every Tuesdays doing private consultations or available to answer any questions if you want to stop in the store or give a call, and I am available. So please stop by or give a call if you have any questions or concerns or would like any more information about anything I discuss on my radio show. So today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. I decided to pick this topic because it's something that I deal with so much in my private practice. I have found that so many people suffer from these issues and call me all the time inquiring about what can possibly be done. So before I necessarily reveal the condition or what it is that we're going to be talking about, I want to go over some symptoms and see if any of you out there can guess what condition I'm talking about. So here's some of the symptoms that might be caused if someone has this particular condition. They may have fatigue, signs and symptoms of weakness, muscle weakness. They may have weight gain or increased difficulty losing weight. May have coarse or dry hair, dry or rough skin, hair loss, an intolerance to cold, meaning they can't tolerate the cold like people around them, meaning, you know, this person might be wearing a turtleneck and sweater when everyone else is in short sleeves, frequent muscle cramps or muscle aches, slow bowels, constipation, depression, irritability, memory loss, and brain fog. In females, abnormal menstrual cycles and a low libido. So there is a condition out there that does fit all those criteria. While a lot of people who have this condition don't necessarily have all those symptoms, if anybody has one or two or three of them, it could definitely be a possibility. And that is the condition of low thyroid function, hypothyroidism. And hypothyroidism is becoming increasingly an issue. There's a huge percentage of the population, particularly women over the age of 50, that are diagnosed with hypothyroidism. It seems to be that when women start to go through the changes associated with menopause, it is very common that they also get diagnosed with some type of issue related to their thyroid. So there seems to be some trigger as the female hormones start to shift to change the regularity or the balance of the thyroid hormonal system. So I have so many women and so many people calling me complaining of symptoms, specifically of fatigue, difficulty losing weight or gaining weight, hair loss, skin problems, and constipation and depression. And so many times there is an issue related to hypothyroidism. Now, there's a lot of you out there listening who have probably thought that they may have a hypothyroid issue and have been to their doctors and have asked them, will you please work me up or test me for hypothyroidism? And that was done. And the doctors told them that there were no problems with their thyroid and everything was fine. So you were basically left to wonder, well, what else could be wrong with me? Usually the situation is that all the blood tests are run. Somebody is feeling depressed. They're feeling fatigued. They're not feeling like themselves. They're feeling easily stressed and overwhelmed. And they're just not feeling maybe how they did 5 or 10 years ago. Now, of course, some of that is going to naturally happen as we age, but there's a lot of things that physiologically can change as a result of stress and as a result of age that don't necessarily have to be permanent. And one of those things can be a decrease in thyroid function. Now, this is obviously very important for women who are going through menopausal times or are going through the hormonal shifts, because if you're starting to go through those hormonal shifts and experience some of these symptoms, then you really need to be very aware about what you have to ask for and the things that you absolutely need to know about in order to figure out if the thyroid issue is a problem for you. Because to be honest, the standard workups that are going to be done by a regular doctor are oftentimes going to miss what I'm going to call a subclinical hypothyroidism. And that is really the topic of the show today, something called subclinical hypothyroidism. So this is really the people that have an obvious thyroid issue. It is picked up almost immediately, meaning it's very clear. They go in, they have all the signs and symptoms. You have an astute physician who goes ahead and orders a basic screening test with some thyroid labs. And it's very clear that the ranges of the lab work are out of the normal parameters. And this person is clearly hypothyroid, is given medication, and oftentimes feels much better and has a great recovery. What I'm talking about is a huge percentage of people that don't fit that classic categorization of diagnosis, meaning that their thyroid values are still falling within the normal ranges of the lab tests that the doctors are doing. However, clinically, they're presenting with every sign and symptom of hypothyroidism. They're tired, they're depressed, they're having trouble managing their weight, they're having issues with their skin, with their hair, they're having constipation, they're having all of the things that I mentioned in the first part of the show. And they're getting absolutely zero answers. The most common answer that these people get are either A, there's nothing wrong with you and it's all in your head, or B, you're depressed and you should try an antidepressant. Now, although, you know, saying that it's all in your head and there's nothing wrong with you is just an absolutely terrible thing to tell a patient, because a lot of times that's not the case. There's usually some type of physiological abnormality going on with people unless there is some type of mental psychosis or issue going on. For the majority of the population, that is not the case. There is a physiological abnormality happening in their body. Now, the issue of the antidepressants, oftentimes if people get on antidepressants, they do feel better. Okay, I'm not saying that they don't work, but you oftentimes ask these people, you know, yes, they'll report, I feel better, but I still don't feel like I should. Antidepressants improve the situation, but they don't truly address the cause of the situation. And that is what ultimately needs to be addressed, and that is looking at the thyroid. So the first thing that we need to do, or the first thing that I'd like to do in the show today, is really educate anybody out there who's interested in this topic about what to ask for and how to elicit the correct information from your doctor and from the lab work so that you can figure out if you have an issue of subclinical hypothyroidism, because subclinical hypothyroidism is not a diagnosis that is recognized by the medical community. And the reason why is because subclinical hypothyroidism, there is no treatment for it. The only way to treat a thyroid issue is with thyroid medication. If you are one of these people where your lab values are not outside of the normal range, as far as standard medical practice is concerned and liability is concerned for the physician, they are really not allowed to prescribe you thyroid medication if they're going by their parameters of standard of care. You need to be outside of the normal reference range in your lab values in order for a responsible physician to be able to prescribe you thyroid medication. So subclinical hypothyroidism does not exist on the radar of most conventional doctors because there is no treatment for it. They don't necessarily have the education or the tools in things like vitamin and nutrition therapy and other types of homeopathic therapies that can support optimal thyroid function in an instance where someone is having a sluggish thyroid but not having true hypothyroidism. So this is a really important educational piece. And I know if whoever's listening, there's got to be some people out there who have been dealing with this, because I see it day in and day out in my practice. So I'm going to need to take a break. When I come back from the break, we are going to be specifically discussing the tests that you need to ask for and how to interpret these tests so that you can ferret out whether or not you have this condition. So I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, and this is the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by The Village Green. Do not go anywhere. We will be back in just a minute with some very important information for you. Hello and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, your host for the next hour. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. And just a quick note, if you are just picking up on the show and you're interested in what I'm talking about and missed the first half, you can always listen to our archive shows by going to www.myvillagegreen.com. It takes about a week and a half or 2 weeks for us to post the most recent shows, but we have all the shows that we've done for the last year and a half backlogged on there, all done, all categorized by topics. We have some fantastic shows by myself and by my co-host Dana Lake, some really great information. It's a wonderful resource. It's all free. So feel free to download any of those shows to educate yourself about more issues relating to health and wellness. So I'm going to start this segment off the same way I started last segment off, talking about a very interesting condition. So for any of you listeners who just picked up, what condition may result in symptoms of fatigue, weakness, weight gain, or difficulty losing weight, dry hair, pale or dry skin, hair loss, difficulty tolerating cold temperatures, muscle cramps, constipation, depression, irritability, memory loss, brain fog, abnormal menstrual cycles, and low libido? Well, for all of you listening in the last segment, you know that these are all potential symptoms of hypothyroidism. And what we're talking about today is not just hypothyroidism, but what I really want to focus on is this category of people who fit into the class of subclinical hypothyroidism. Okay, now what do I mean by subclinical hypothyroidism? As I explained in the last segment, this is the category of people who, when they go to their doctor, their lab tests look normal, okay? And they're told that there's nothing wrong with their thyroid. However, they fit all of the clinical signs and symptoms of a hypothyroid patient. Everything I listed, they may have fatigue, they may have weight gain, they may have depression, they may have very dry skin, they may have constipation. So they have some of the very clear signs of hypothyroidism, yet they're being told there's nothing wrong with their thyroid. Now, let me tell you why this happens, okay? The lab ranges, there's a couple reasons, okay? Number one is the lab ranges for some of the most common thyroid tests are a bit outdated, meaning that the range is very large. So let's take the major indicator for thyroid function. This is the most common test to assess thyroid function. It is called TSH, and it stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. This is the hormone that the brain releases in order to stimulate the thyroid to create hormones. Okay, which then stimulates metabolism. So doctors measure the TSH to assess how the thyroid is functioning. And let me give you an example. If the thyroid is underfunctioning, meaning you have a sluggish thyroid that is not working properly, your brain will be releasing more of the thyroid stimulating hormones in an effort to stimulate that thyroid to get working. Okay, so this is a little counterintuitive, but in a hypothyroid case, the TSH is elevated, okay, because the brain is working really hard to try and stimulate the thyroid to actually do some work, all right? Now, the TSH range, so this is the normal range for thyroid stimulating hormone, and this is the main number one diagnostic criteria that a physician is going to use to assess whether or not you have a thyroid issue. The range for thyroid stimulating hormone is 0.5 all the way to 5.5. This is a huge range, folks. There is a huge amount of variability in that range. So the number one problem is that that lab range is way too broad and will miss a lot of subclinical or underfunctioning thyroid cases. Now, in 2002, the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, these are the people that set the standards for endocrinology, all right, dramatically formalized a reversal of its previous doctrine and established a narrower normal range for TSH. And this range for TSH went from 0.3 to 3.0. So instead of 0.5 to 5.5, they brought down that top number 5.5 to 3.0. And they did this because they realized that so many people with hypothyroidism were getting missed in diagnosis because the top end of the reference range of TSH was too high. and an elevated TSH is what is going to cue a physician to diagnosing the condition of hypothyroidism. Now, just because you would think that because the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, these are the endocrinologists who are out in the field seeing patients day in and day out, diagnosing hypothyroidism and treating hypothyroidism, you would think that when they set this standard that everyone would follow suit. All right, here is the problem. The labs that run the tests never change the reference range on the lab reports. So 95% of labs out there, when you get your test done and you get your TSH result back, the reference range on the lab report is still 0.5 to 5.5. Now, physicians are very busy. They see a lot of patients at very frequent intervals, and they may not know or may not have the time to be educated on the fact that anything over 3.0 should be considered hypothyroidism. So let's say you go get your thyroid test done, you go to your doctor to get your results, and your thyroid value is 3.7. All right. A lot of physicians will look at that, and because there is no flag on the lab report, because it is still, quote unquote, within the normal lab range, they are going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with your thyroid function, even though the standard set by the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists clearly states that a TSH of 3.7 would be considered hypothyroidism and would warrant treatment. Okay. So that's one of the major issues or major problems with the issue of why subclinical hypothyroidism is not diagnosed enough, because the issues of the lab ranges have not caught up. Hopefully, there are some labs that are changing their reference ranges. Hopefully, within the next 5 to 10 years, physicians will be educated enough and labs will catch up so that the reference ranges are reestablished on the labs so that the standard of care is actually carried out. Okay. Now, there are some other issues with the tests that are done. There are two other tests that are extremely important, and these tests are the free T4 and the free T3. Now, that does not mean that these tests don't cost anything. This has to do with how the hormone travels around the body, and let me explain it. There is a type of two. The hormones are in the body in two states. One state is the bound state, meaning that the hormones are bound to carrier proteins, and the other state is the free state. Let me give you an example, okay? Let's take, for example, your thyroid makes thyroid hormone, okay? T4, the main thyroid hormone. This thyroid hormone has to get to the cells. So let's say your foot decides that it needs some more energy. So it sends a signal to the brain that says, hey, listen, brain, I need some more energy to wiggle my toes because they're getting cold. Can you send some thyroid hormone down here to stimulate metabolism? The brain releases TSH, which goes to the thyroid, and as we mentioned, it's the thyroid-stimulating hormone to make thyroid hormone. The thyroid responds to that stimulation, makes some T4, but the T4, you know, says, hey, listen, I can't walk all the way to the foot. As far as the T4 is concerned, that's like walking from Washington, D.C. to Chicago. Just can't do it. So the T4 has to get, let's say, on a bus, okay? There's a huge bus depot at the thyroid that is going to carry the hormone down to the foot where it can have its active role, okay? So the hormone, T4, hops on the bus and takes its route on its trip to basically Chicago. When the T4 is on the bus, it is considered bound. And as long as the T4 is on the bus, it is not available to get off the bus and interact with any cells until it gets to its designated area. So even though as it's traveling down, your thigh may need some energy, the T4 on the bus is stuck on the bus until it gets to its stop in the foot. So the important thing point I'm trying to get across is that it's very important to measure the amount of free circulating hormone in the body. Because to be honest, from a physiological standpoint, in regards to how a person feels on a daily basis, the bound portion of hormone is pretty irrelevant. Because if it is bound, it is not able to interact with your cells. We want to measure the amount of free circulating hormone that is available to stimulate the cells and the metabolism of the cells in your body. So making sure that you get a free T4 level. And there's a couple T4, free T4s. There's one that's calculated, which is basically an estimate based on other lab values. And there is a true free T4 test. And that is the one that you want to get. Now, there is a very narrow reference range as far as T4 is concerned, and the same thing as TSH. T4 has a relatively broad range, but within that broad range, just like TSH, there is what is considered the optimal range. This is the range that where optimal physiology occurs. It's not abnormally high, abnormally low. There's a lot of variation within that range. You want to get it to a very specific spot. Think about a football field. Football field has 100 yards. You have end zones on each side. One end zone is the low end of the range. The other end zone is the high end of the range. The optimal spot in the football field, in regards to what we're talking about with physiology, would be right in the middle at the 50-yard line. That's where you want a lot of your thyroid values to fall. There is an optimal range that is conducive to physiology. And for free T4, that range is somewhere between 1.2 and 1.3. And again, this issues of subclinical hypothyroidism, I've seen many times free T4 levels that are on the very low end of normal, meaning they're still in the normal reference range. However, they are far from where the optimal range is. And these people, although they're told their thyroid hormone levels are normal, are still suffering from hypothyroid symptoms because they're on the low end of the range. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the most important thyroid hormone that you have to get measured. Okay, so it's a very, very important topic that I want to cover. Again, I'm Dr. Kevin Passero. This is the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by The Village Green. Stay with us. We will be back in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, co-host for the show with Dana Lake. I'll be with you for the next hour, and Dana will be back next week. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. If you're just picking up the show and you're interested in the topic I'm speaking about and want to listen to the show in its entirety, you can always listen to the archive shows that are available at www.myvillagegreen.com. Village Green is a wonderful resource in our community. It is a pharmacy, a holistic pharmacy that's been in business for 38 years over in Bethesda. They have wonderful, wonderful resources of people like myself. I'm there once a week, but every day of the week, Monday through Saturday, we have wonderful resources of very educated people who can help you figure out strategies for health and wellness. We have vitamins and supplements. We have a conventional pharmacy where you can get your prescriptions filled. We accept insurance. We also have a compounding pharmacy where you can get specialized prescription fills. It's just a really wonderful resource. The place is really, really phenomenal. Today, we're talking about subclinical hypothyroidism. So I've started every segment off the show talking about certain symptoms related to hypothyroidism. So we have fatigue, weakness, weight gain, or difficulty losing weight. That's a huge one for a lot of people. So is the fatigue. Dry, brittle hair and hair loss. This is another huge one. Intolerance to cold. People who can't tolerate cold temperatures. Frequent muscle cramps. Constipation is another big one. I will say that probably one of the biggest things that I've found in people with chronic constipation who have had it for a very long period of time, they have a subclinical hypothyroid issue going on, some thyroid problem that has never been diagnosed properly. Depression, irritability, memory loss and brain fog, irregularities in the menstrual cycle, and low libido. All possible symptoms of hypothyroidism. Now, I've been talking today about this issue of subclinical hypothyroidism, which fits the bill is the most frustrating thing for people, because these are the people that have symptoms like that, or have some of those symptoms, or maybe all those symptoms, but have been told that there's nothing wrong with them and there's nothing wrong with their thyroid, and they are just absolutely frustrated because they're getting absolutely zero answers. So we talked about TSH and T4 so far. Now we're going to talk about one of the most important thyroid hormones, and this is T3, okay? Let me explain. T4 is the most abundant thyroid hormone. It makes up about 85% of your thyroid hormone. However, it is about 90% inactive. T4 is a pre-hormone. It is not necessarily an active hormone. Your body has to convert that T4 into T3, and then T3 is the active hormone. This is how I explain it to my patients. Imagine if you were to go out and buy a new computer or any kind of electronic device, okay? Now, you know how you have your plug, and a plug usually has three prongs on it, okay? Assuming it has the little third prong, and the outlet has three prongs, and you plug it right in. Imagine if every electric device that you had to plug in came with four prongs, okay? It was a pre-plug. Right? That's your T4. It had four little prongs on it. And in order to be able to plug it in and turn on your computer, right, you have to break off one prong. So now you have three, and now it fits in the wall. That's the same exact thing that happens in your body with T4 and T3. T4 is like a prong. It has the potential to give your body energy, but iodine has to be taken off of it in order to turn it into T3 for it to actually be able to plug into the cells and stimulate metabolism. So here's the catch. No, very, very few doctors, practically no doctors that I've ever come in contact with, even endocrinologists very rarely, will measure the T3 levels. Oftentimes they'll do a test called a T3 uptake. Now, although the test has the name T3 in it, it is not a direct measure of T3. So just because you have a test on your lab work that has T3 in it does not mean your T3 was properly measured. The only way I feel to properly assess T3 levels is to do a free T3 test. And again, free is not referring to the fact that it doesn't cost any money. Free is referring to the fact that we are measuring the hormone that is not bound to carrier proteins. We're measuring the free hormone, which is the only hormone that's available to actually stimulate your cells and have an influence on your physiology and metabolism. So as far as I'm concerned, the free hormone is the only one of value, because that's the only one that's really going to make a difference in how you feel. Okay. You could have a ton of bound hormone and hardly any free. And I've seen this on lab tests where people have elevated levels. They're outside of the reference range on the high side with total T4 levels. Okay. But when we measure their free T4 levels, they're below the reference range low. And this happens because under different circumstances, the body will create more carrier proteins. So if all of a sudden your body starts making a ton of carrier proteins, all of the T4 that's being produced gets bound up, and none of it is available for cellular stimulation. So you have to figure out, how do we free that hormone, or how do we get the free levels of hormone up to where they should be? So the free T3 level, this is where the rubber hits the road as far as thyroid function is concerned. It is absolutely essential that the body has the right amount of free T3 levels in order to carry out optimal physiology. And this is probably one of the single biggest areas where the subclinical hypothyroidism diagnosis fits. A patient will come to me and they'll show me lab reports that were done where they have a very clear TSH reading that was normal and a clear T4, even a free T4 reading that was normal, but a free T3 level was never done, and they're complaining of symptoms of hypothyroidism. Now, if we get the right test done and I get that person to be able to order their free T3 levels, then we see that their free T3 levels are at the very low end, or I've even seen it below normal range, even though the TSH and the free T4 are normal. So even if a doctor runs a standard detailed panel, which would be a TSH and a free T4, everything still looks normal. And they're going to be told that there's nothing wrong with your thyroid, or there's nothing wrong with thyroid function. However, if the free T3 levels are low, then you're going to have all of the signs and symptoms related to hypothyroidism, but it's not going to get diagnosed. and it's not going to get addressed. Now, you don't treat a subclinical hypothyroidism the same way you would treat regular hypothyroidism. In some cases, you might, but in a lot of cases, you don't necessarily just use medication. What you do is you try and figure out how to naturally improve the way that the thyroid is functioning, because this person has a good functioning thyroid. That's what the tests are trying to evaluate. Standard lab tests are going to assess, is it broken or does it work? Does the car run or does the car broke down? Okay, if the tests are normal, well, the car is running, but is the car running nice and smooth where it's firing on all six cylinders and it's a nice, easy ride and it accelerates well and brakes well? Well, not necessarily. Your car may get you from A to B, but it may not do it so nice. It may be putting out choking black smoke out of the tailpipe and misfiring and trouble braking and clunking along, right? That's a thyroid that needs a tune-up. And this is why subclinical hypothyroidism responds really well, usually, to natural therapies. Okay, so we're going to talk about what type of natural therapies or what types of things you can do. But first, I need to give you guys a resource of where you can go to get these tests done. Okay, because sometimes it's very difficult to get these tests done through your regular physician. And a lot of times, if it's not established that you have a pre-existing thyroid condition, insurance will not pay for the free T3 values. Now, I think the reason why T3 values aren't included by a lot of doctors is because it used to be a very expensive test. It used to be about $350 for that test. In the last 10 years or so, the technology in labs has gotten so advanced that they can do T3s, free T3s, very inexpensive. The best way to do this, you can talk to your physician. I always encourage people to talk to your physician. Let them know what's going on. Let them know what they're thinking, because they will ultimately be a wonderful resource for you. However, if you're not comfortable discussing this with your physician, or your physician is not interested in discussing this with you, then you're going to need to be a self-advocate. Okay, so number one, you have the information that I've armed you with, okay? So you can listen to the show again and get all your facts straight. All right, number two, you can go get your own lab test done. And there is a great resource of a online company that offers very reliable lab testing to assess the TSH, the free T4, and the free T3 all in one test and at very affordable cost. All right, the company is www.healthcheckusa.com. It's www.healthcheckusa.com. All HealthCheck USA is all one word. And they offer a thyroid panel 2, Roman numeral 2, that gives you these three tests for a cost of $85. What you do is you go online or you call the 1-800 number and you order the test. You pay for it, and they mail you a requisition form to a LabCorp. LabCorp is one of the most reliable labs in the entire country. It's a fantastic lab. You bring that requisition form to any LabCorp anywhere in the country. They draw your blood, run the test, and mail and email the results directly to you, the patient. And then you bring those results to a qualified healthcare practitioner that can help you with this. So that is a wonderful resource. So that is the step one, is getting the right testing done. All right, when we come back from the break, I'm going to be talking about specific nutrients that you need to be looking at in order to address an underfunctioning or subclinical hypothyroid state. So again, I'm Dr. Kevin Passero. This is the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by The Village Green. Stay with us. We'll be back from our break in just a minute. Hello, and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk 1260 AM, sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, your co-host for the show. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 AM. Dana Lake, our other wonderful host, will return next week. We're always here covering a wide range of topics, bringing you lots of good news on health and wellness. Today, we've been covering what I feel is a very, very important topic. If you're just picking up the show now, you can listen to the whole show by downloading the archive shows at www.myvillagegreen.com. Those shows are available usually a couple weeks after the show posts. Today, we've been talking about a condition that can result in a variety of symptoms, including things like fatigue, weakness, weight gain or difficulty losing weight, dry hair, dry skin, hair loss, difficulty tolerating cold temperatures, muscle cramps, constipation, depression, memory loss, abnormal menstrual cycles, and even low libido. And that condition is, ding, 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 hypothyroidism, okay? Now, what I've really been trying to focus on today is not your standard case of hypothyroidism, but something rather I call subclinical hypothyroidism, which is these are people that are usually extremely frustrated because they have a lot of the symptoms that I just listed. However, they're being told that their thyroid function is normal. Now, where I will say I have missed mentioning, for all of you people out there who have a thyroid issue, a diagnosed hypothyroid issue, and are taking thyroid medication, but still feel like you have all the symptoms of hypothyroidism, you could be dealing with the same issue. And what you're likely dealing with is even though you're getting thyroid medication, which is T4, if you listen to my last segment, what's happening is your body is not properly converting that T4 into T3. And T3, as I mentioned in the last segment, is where the rubber hits the road for thyroid metabolism. This is the hormone that actually stimulates metabolism. T4, the hormone that you're being prescribed by your doctor, actually is an inactive hormone. It is the pre-hormone, but it is the main hormone that the thyroid produces naturally. So it makes sense that it's the main hormone that we prescribe. People would not do well if they were just prescribed T3 because the body needs to be able to self-regulate how much energy it's being released depending on its energy demands. So if we were just flooding the system with T3, it'd be like, you know, pushing the accelerator down on your car all the way, no matter what the situation was, whether it was a 25 mile an hour school zone or whether it was, you know, 80 mile an hour speed limit on a highway. Obviously, you need to determine how much energy is going to be released. And so the body needs to have control over how much T4 is converting to T3. But a lot of people have problems with that T4 to T3 conversion. So if you're being prescribed medication for hypothyroidism like Synthroid or levothyroxine, which are the two most common ones, those are synthetic T4 prescriptions. And basically, your body needs to convert that T4 into T3. And that's where a huge part of the people suffer with thyroid-related symptoms is that their body isn't doing that properly. And you have to get the right workup done, which I mentioned in the last segment is going to be a blood test that's going to measure your TSH, free T4 and free T3. That's at least what the three tests that you need. And I gave a resource where you can get those done by yourself by an online company called www.healthcheckusa.com. And you order the thyroid panel 2, and that's a Roman numeral 2. It'll give you that test, I think, for $85. And it's done directly through LabCorp. No physician prescription or recommendation is needed. You can order that test directly as a consumer without any doctor's approvals. And then you just bring it to either your doctor to have them review it, or you bring it to somebody, you know, like myself or any other type of physician or doctor that's up to speed on dealing with some of these little nuances of thyroid hormones and subclinical hypothyroid issues. So what I want to talk about today is some specific nutrients for supporting optimal thyroid function. So if you have one of these situations where you have a T4 to T3 conversion issue, or you have a thyroid test results that indicate that your thyroid is not abnormal but not functioning optimally, there are going to be some things that you want to do. So number one, this is, I always talk about this vitamin. I mean, you can't turn anywhere without hearing about it these days, but vitamin D. Vitamin D, everybody knows its role in helping with bone density and the absorption of calcium. It's also gotten a lot of popular press these days because it's related, been showing in some studies to reduce certain cancers, the risks of certain cancers, primarily breast, prostate, and colon. It's also linked to issues with depression and seasonal affective disorder, which is the wintertime blues, where we get less sunlight, so our body produces less vitamin D. And it's also linked to normalizing immune function. So places where there's less sunlight exposure, there's higher rates of certain autoimmune diseases, most specifically multiple sclerosis. The rates of multiple sclerosis dramatically increase the farther you move away from the equator in the northern latitudes. And some people postulate that's a result of less exposure to sunlight and less production of vitamin D. Now, how it relates to thyroid function is that vitamin D is actually not a vitamin. Really, it should be classified as a hormone. There are certain things that make up classifications for these things. To be classified as a hormone, number one, it has to be produced by your body, which vitamin D is. And number two, it has to be receptors on every cell. You have to have a receptor on every cell for it. And no other vitamin has a receptor on every cell for it, except for vitamin D. So vitamin D is much more like a hormonal influence rather than just a vitamin influence. And how this relates to thyroid hormone is vitamin D actually helps thyroid hormone bind to the cells, to the cell receptors on the cell membrane, and actually start the process of stimulating the cell to upregulate metabolism. So low vitamin D levels can affect how thyroid hormone is interacting with your cells. So making sure that you ask your doctor to run a vitamin D3 test on you, a simple blood test will help to determine what your vitamin D3 levels are. About 80% of the population is extremely deficient in vitamin D. So it's something that you want to get checked, not only for thyroid function, but also for your immune function and for, cancer prevention and bone density and all the things that vitamin D is good for. Now, there are some very specific nutrients. One nutrient is tyrosine. Tyrosine is an amino acid, and I keep mentioning this T4 and T3. So what do you think the T in T4 and T3 stands for? It stands for tyrosine. T4 is a tyrosine with four iodines attached to it. So your main thyroid hormone is made up of two things, tyrosine and iodine. So what do you think are going to be probably the top two nutrients that I'm going to recommend for supporting thyroid function today? Tyrosine and iodine. These are the things that make up your thyroid hormone. Tyrosine is a simple amino acid, very inexpensive, very well tolerated, very easy to take. By taking extra tyrosine, you're at least giving your thyroid the building blocks it needs to make more thyroid hormone if it does. If the body feels like it needs to. Somebody may be deficient, or not deficient, but lacking in some of their tyrosine intake if their diet is not right. So if they're eating a lot of carbohydrates, maybe if they're a vegetarian and not focusing on good quality proteins and complex protein structures, vegetarian protein structures that have a lot of amino acids, they're going to not necessarily have good tyrosine uptake. If they have digestive problems or difficulty with absorption, they may not be absorbing and utilizing tyrosine like they should. So taking some extra tyrosine in the form of supplements can help give your body the building blocks it needs to make more thyroid hormone. Okay, so tyrosine is a very important one. Iodine is another important one, but poses a little bit more of a tricky situation. You have to be careful with iodine. If you have too little, you got a problem. And if you have too much, you have a problem. So if you're interested in doing iodine as a supplement, I would suggest really working with someone who knows what they're doing in this field or with this nutrient. If you want to do some things just on your own, there's a lot of stuff you can do with your diet to increase your iodine intake. So you don't necessarily want to increase your salt intake, especially if you have problems with high blood pressure, because salt does contain iodine, or most salt does contain iodine. But what you can do is start incorporating sea vegetables, things like kelp and nori and other forms of seaweed that are actually used in culinary recipes, usually in Japanese cultures. These sea vegetables have very, very high amounts of iodine in them, and incorporating them into your diet can help raise the amount of iodine, which is very, very supportive to the diet. It's a wonderful thing to start doing. There's a lot of good recipes out there on the internet for including iodine. The other thing are sea vegetables to increase your iodine. The other thing that's important is in supporting the enzyme that converts T4 to T3. So this is probably one of the main things that I do with people, especially if they have low T3 levels and normal T4 levels, is you have to support the deiodinase enzyme, which plucks that one iodine off of T4 to turn it into T3. And there are some specific nutrients to do that. Zinc is very important for that. Selenium is very important for that. Vitamin E is very important for that enzyme. And an herb called ashwagandha, which is an Indian herb. All of these things help support the production of T3, which is very important. So I wanted to give you today more an education about what to expect. If you have any questions, you can feel free to call the Village Green. I'm more than happy to speak with you about this issue. The Village Green is located on West Cedar Avenue. And as I mentioned, they've been there for about 40 years, offering wonderful advice to the community on health and wellness related issues. It's a wonderful resource. I really encourage you to stop by or call. The number's 301 530-0800, or you can visit the website at www.myvillagegreen.com. I just want to say thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. This has been The Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by The Village Green, and I've been your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week, and in health to all of you.